When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
And joined by Jules Gale.
Hi, guys.
And it's 2019 as the new consoles and stuff is on the horizon and we keep talking about them. So, Josh Brown came to us this morning and said, look, lads, I can prove that the PS5 is arriving in 2019.
And in between the fits of hysterical laughter at not only his general outward appearance, but also his lofty sort of claims, We sat down and thought, right, go on then. Mophead.
As a bit of a callback to when Josh first got hired and we did the Last of Us theories video.
Yeah, and all of those came true.
Well, yeah, they probably every single one of them all came true. And me and Jules challenged him back then. So as a callback to that, Josh reckons he can prove some fantastical things. What is your opening gambit to prove to us?
Well, it's not an opening gambit because you know things aren't done in absolutes. I've got a lot of points that build onto one another and make a compelling overall theory.
Parcel is already
starting this isn't good.
The swamp going to descend from the sand in mid.
Well, it's only really a castle if you look at it from a certain direction.
Cast your minds back to March 2018. That's when we first heard the reports that the dev kits, PS5 dev kits, were being sent out to developers. And there was a lot of back and forth on this. Did people really have them? People were being really secretive. And then Jason Schreier of Kotaku sort of corroborated those reports. And he said the developers he talked to had pointed towards a 2020 release window for the PS5 in general.
Which makes sense for the life cycle of a sort of thing.
Exactly. That would be seven years after the PS4 came out. And that's what everyone else seems to have corroborated. Either that 2019 is unlikely, but 2020 is probably the sweet spot.
Okay.
However, things have ramped up considerably since then because every single new game, that's just hyperbole, that's not every single game.
Every single game.
A lot of new games like Starfield, Elder Scrolls 6. Mm-hmm. Today we had Call of Duty 2019, which we did report on last year. The recent job listing for Infinity Ward's next game is for a next-gen
experience. It says for a next-gen system,
which we heard about last year and has been sort of reiterated now. And obviously Infinity Ward are next up on the Call of Duty cycle for a game releasing this fall. And if they're looking for next-gen programmers to work on said game, we need consoles before then.
It's true. I'm going to throw a spanner in Come your on. Works because what if this is another Call of Duty Ghost scenario? And yes, they're hiring for the game that's going to be this year, but it's going to be a cross-platform release and they just want someone to be prepared for what's coming.
Well, here's the thing. If it is a cross-platform release, it still needs to be very close to the original's launch. You can't do Ghosts next November. Like, they will have another Call of Duty game out by then, and they wouldn't want to cannibalize those sales by doing a next-gen version of the last one we got. So, to me, this might not necessarily indicate that it's definitely coming out in 2019, but then a sort of March release date or an April release date or a May release date for a console seems a bit weird.
Now, are we saying that this is just Sony doing this, or are we suggesting that this is going to be the other big boys as well?
Well, he might have another point for this.
Because the interesting thing is that, like, I'm not trying to start like at the sort of console war thing, but statistically speaking, you've got to say that the PS4 has the stronger footing in this current generation.
That's not even a contentious point.
I'm just playing it safe.
No, that's
fine. You know what they're like?
It's demonstrably winning.
Little squigs out there, but the thing is that, like, Microsoft would have to, if they went first this time round, would have the better option of just being like, right, okay, we're putting the new tech out right now. The question is, why would they hold off at all, if you know what I mean, if they feel like there must be life left in the consoles, otherwise they would be the ones that start the sort of rumour machine forcing Sony to start putting out press images and stuff like that. If I was working for Microsoft and you guys were working for Sony, and I was thinking, okay, well, how do I capture them?
I would just
start saying, like, I've got a new console. Where's your guys' console?
Well,
and you guys would be like, yeah, okay.
Funny you should ask, because they've kind of done it. They haven't officially announced what the next Xbox will be, but they've sort of said that they're working on new hardware to come out, and you would presume
but you would have a bit more firmer thing, I'm saying, if it was to come out this year. I don't know why, but it just doesn't seem
well. I mean, it feels like the Pro and the Xbox One X have barely been out in the wild enough, and like, if you look at the actual console sales, like, they haven't slowed down whatsoever. Like, I think the Boxing Day sales were actually the highest that they've been so far this generation, which is weird, because then it feels like they're cannibalizing their own sales, unless they position the PS5 the same way the Pro was, where it's an optional upgrade. But that's weird considering it's a numerical.
You've also got to look at the sort of like the first party stuff that they've got, pre-usables, is that the word I'm looking for? Where it's the like the VR, PSVR took off, had a slump, but a lot of people are starting to get into it now, and more companies still are releasing titles that are doing that. Why would they sort of be cutting the legs out from underneath that right now, when they keep, I don't know, all the bundles that I'm seeing at the moment are pushing the PR aspect for like the PS4, for example.
Plus, like, and the Pro runs VR better than the standard one, so it's like you're encouraged to get a PS4
Pro.
Yeah,
it feels like it's only just finding its footing in the market as it is, so why would they suddenly be going, right, next gen, you're going to have to buy another one, and that sets the whole thing back again.
I wonder whether it's, the end of 2013 was when they came out. I wonder if it's just because we're old men, and then, not Josh isn't, he's 23.
I don't want to bloody spend another
£500-600.
Maybe it's just the reservations on that. I have a Warhammer habit already that is crippling.
And
my
a magic
brain.
Habit.
And a magic habit. And
Dynasty Warriors.
And the hairy growth or snake oils that just don't bloody work.
Ewan's payments and everything.
Everywhere but my head.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, 2013, end of 2013 is when they first came out. And it doesn't feel like that long ago. And I wonder if that's just a conflated time period based on the age that we're at or something. That it doesn't feel like the next console is necessary, plus the sales figures and the reality of the business as it is right now. But you likely have more evidence.
Well, just keep on this for a second. It's fascinating what you said there, Jules, about Sony doesn't need a new console, and they don't. They've just hit reportedly 90 million units sold, and their console sales were up in 2018 on 2017. So they're doing well, thanks in no small part to like the exclusive.
Gotta be the
stuff. They're doing really well. And the report that we, I think, covered early last year said that Sony weren't necessarily wanting to push out a PlayStation 4 so quick, because they are just enjoying the fruits. Microsoft, however, like we've said, they've done well, but they've lost this generation quite if you want to frame it within the war.
And I do.
You get to get out ahead. And the report that we covered said that Sony would jump first if there was a sort of a head start by Microsoft. If they were to do something prematurely or whatever, that would force Sony's hand. So we could sort of see a changing plans for them. They might not want to jump this early, but they might simply have to in order to not lag behind like they did with the PS3.
I mean, it makes no sense from a technical standpoint. If you are ahead, you don't...
There's no necessity for it.
Yeah. I know that, but it's... A lot of people would say, like, well, it's always better to keep innovating, keep moving forward, which I'm sure that there are some arms of the Sony departments that are working on the new stuff and are preparing for the future. But it's just when your company's doing well, sale, demand, basic
it's
economics
strange,
suggest you don't try as hard.
Yeah, it's strange because if you think
look at Apple.
Yes, they've been an actual Apple. They haven't innovated on the Apple in a long time. But the in terms of like the unit cost, like a console's unit cost is obviously exponentially, a hell of a lot higher than a single game cost. So on the business acumen side of it, it benefits them to release new hardware, hence the half-step system or whatever. And so they're going to make an absolute shedload of cash based on the PS5 whenever it comes out. So there's always that, like, not money grubby, but the money side of it, where like at some point, console sales, the PS5 is potentially going to do better for them than continued PS4 sales because the PS4's unit cost at the minute, or the sales cost, isn't anywhere near as high as a premium new system could be.
Going back to what you were saying about Sony doesn't need to do it, do we need a new console?
I know
this sounds like really, really silly, because in an ideal world, we'd all want to have the best sort of thing. You look at like PC gaming and you think every time a new upgrade gets made to PC gaming, you think that should also be equal in the console things. And we are way behind where PC gaming is. But at the same time, surely we're just going to get to a state where everything's going to be running at 60 frames, 120 frames per second, 4K resolution, and we're just going to sit there and go like, I don't want these leaves to look any better. I don't care.
That was the crux of my whole "is the industry heading for a crash" argument, because I was like, are we heading for this glass ceiling where like graphics capabilities aren't as sellable as they used to be? Which is a different like point in regards to the stuff that Josh is getting at. But yeah, that's one of the questions. It's that like you look at The Last of Us 2, you look at like, I can't even think of anything else that's like graphically gorgeous for the rest of this. Yeah, Death Stranding.
Your favorite game, Atlas, whatever it's called.
Anthem. That's definitely my favorite game. I'm looking forward to that tanking. But looking at all the stuff that's coming out next this year now, like everything looks phenomenal. I don't need a better looking Last of Us 2. I don't even know what the hell that would even look like.
Yeah,
right. So there is always that question.
Yeah, but, it's a hard question. It's like it's a philosophical question in a way. Yeah. It's like, why do we need any more of anything? Yeah. I guess the answer is just because we can. I suppose it's always kind of been at that. Like the reason to get new consoles is just to try and improve like the tech that we currently have. Like we could just enjoy the games that we have now. Mm. Nothing mechanically really has changed all that much between the last generation and this, in my opinion. Things have been refined, but we haven't seen the birth of really... We've had like some new genres in a way with sort of online shared world shooters and a sort of more microtransaction heavy open world style, but we haven't fundamentally had those new genres like we got in the last generation. So you could say, do we really need a new generation? But then it's sort of like, you're in a weird place because I guess not, but then why wouldn't we? You know,
I mean, we need to get back to your Everdance, but one of the things that I'm curious about is like you look at the Xbox One X and their whole sales pitch was like, hey, it's the most expensive or the most powerful console on the planet, and it plays all Xbox as a legacy. It plays all the original Xbox games, Xbox 360 games, and Xbox One games, and it reses them to 4K. And it's like, I think the PS5 won't be as demonstrable a step up as the 2 was to 3.
So you think it'll be a 4.5?
No, I don't think it'll be I think they'll call it the PS5, but I think its whole selling point will be that it's a legacy system that it just does everything.
Yeah.
And that'll be the way that they sell it and go like PlayStation as a brand, that's what you're buying into. Yeah. And it does what the PS4 Pro doesn't do, which is render everything in native 4K.
Yep.
The Pro is like this weird little half-baked half-step thing. And I think the 5 would be the execution of that idea.
Well, that's like the fascinating thing to me. Between the Xbox 360 and the PS4 and the Xbox One, we had like the longest generation that, at least off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure it was the longest generation between.
Yeah, because it was the whole crash thing was in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was like, what, 8 years going on for 9?
Yeah. Maybe?
It was like a long console cycle anyway, where console cycles before then were 5, 6, maybe 7 years. So that sort of eschewed expectations in a way. Mm. And then instead of kind of doubling down on that as the norm in this console cycle, we've seen these half-step consoles, which have made things even more confusing, especially if that sort of gap between main releases isn't going to be as long as it was before. So now we are in this weird position where no one really knows or has any expectations of what a generation even is anymore. Yeah. Is it going to be this major step up from the 4 to the 5, or is it going to be, like you said, a console like legacy, PlayStation legacy console?
I kind of think they're moving into, because if you think of the gaming industry more like the tech industry, like you think of like Apple have a new iPhone like every year, but the vast majority of the apps on those phones always work phone to phone to phone. Mm. It's very rare that you get a new iPhone. In fact, I can't even think of any examples where an older game doesn't work anymore. So it's like now.
I guess there was ones with the that required maybe the use of the front camera or something like
something,
that.
Yeah,
like,
something
like
really specific.
AR sort of
yeah,
things,
yeah, yeah.
Like function maybe.
Something really specific. It's very rare that thing can happen. So like, I think if Sony or the games industry overall is pivoting into a tech mentality, then you just get, well, they would have to keep going with the half steps, but assumedly you'd get a step up console that's, hey, it's the new PlayStation, but it actually only really like is a quality of life improvement on what you already had. And so like that will be their way to maximize the unit cost and the business side of things.
Yeah.
And then depending on how people's mentalities shift to accepting that kind of thing, which they didn't when the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X were announced, although they've been accepted now-ish, that's the most fascinating thing, because they need to pivot for the sake of how far they can't go in terms of the new system.
So we've discussed basically none of us want a new console now, which is great. So now tell us how they're coming out this year.
Yeah, prove it.
Well, I'm really trying, guys. I'm really trying. Well, it's what you're talking about there, becoming a legacy console. Yeah. That sort of fits in with reports that we've had for the past year over and over again that backwards compatibility will be baked in to the PS5, allegedly.
Okay.
And that sort of hits in with the fact that in May 2018, it was confirmed that the PS4 is in its final stages of its life.
That was the thing where Sony said that they think the next generation of hardware is necessary.
Yeah, that came a few months after where the Sony CEO did say that it's absolutely necessary to have next-gen hardware.
Right.
Which makes, I don't know, like, they've
and
got
his
to
investors
be,
were probably like, yes, yes, yeah, very, very true.
Sure.
Absolutely do. But this sort of links in with Sony completely missing E3 this year. And bear in mind, they didn't have a PlayStation experience last year either. So the last time we saw them do a big sort of conference was at E3 2018. And if they're going to miss E3 2019, we could conceivably not have a big sort of showcase from them for over a year.
I'll give you another one as well. I just did a video on confirmed PS5 games that we know are in development. One of them is Gran Turismo. One of the other ones is, because you can actually watch footage of Gran Turismo being played in like 8K or whatever it is. But to talk about like developers mentioning stuff, like you said, Infinity Ward or whoever it was before, the Call of Duty devs, having like announcements for next gen job listings, with Cyberpunk 2077, Martin Iwinski from CD Projekt Red was asked, what's the crack with Cyberpunk? Is that going to be on PS5? And he said he couldn't say, but Cyberpunk 2077 would support future hardware or would support future generations of hardware. And it's like, okay, even for that sentence, obviously he can't say anything, he's trying to dodge NDAs, but he literally can't even frame a response to that without saying something that ties into the fact that they're accounting for PS5 during the development stage.
Now, excuse my ignorance on this. Is this just because all games are developed using a form of sort of PC architecture, so they're not actually built from the ground up to work on consoles? They're literally adapted from source material to work inside situational hardware.
Is that how it works?
Like when you make a game, you don't literally, because the Xbox that develop or the PS5 development kits that they're sending out at a base core are just going to be PCs.
Yeah,
a lot of them are. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Just the casing that changes them into
to some degree. I did a very tiny stint at Eutechnics, which are the guys that made 007 Racing and Street Racing Syndicate and stuff.
I'm sorry.
I know. Well, at the time,
007 Racing.
They were making Street Racing Syndicate at the time, SRS. And so yeah, you see like the dev kits all around the place and stuff. But yeah, I guess the actual guts of it probably are PC architecture. Mm. But in terms of how the platforms handle themselves, it's a PS4 dev kit.
The only reason I brought that was just because it was like you were saying about how Cyberpunk, he said he's making it with future hardware in mind, which doesn't necessarily confirm that he's using future hardware to do it. He's just making a game and then
on PC
it into whatever it needs.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I mean, I'm not like the authority on this topic, and I'm not but I know on this, yeah. When I know I've read some developers say that when they create games, they render like sort of textures and stuff the highest possible like sort mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. fidelity. Then when it gets to putting them into like the console,
worry about
it, they put it down.
It's
later
like, it's
on
the famous like Watch Dogs thing with the graphical vertical slice being made using a thing that wasn't mm-hmm, the current yeah. thing, and then it couldn't actually handle this sort of thing. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know, going forward, I guess that isn't concrete evidence.
It was more just a hint.
Just, the developing process.
Speaking of Watch Dogs, though, that's quite interesting. Okay. The comparison between Cyberpunk, because we've got these games that are announced now and mm-hmm. are real, like Cyberpunk and Elder Scrolls and Starfield and mm-hmm. games like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas we've got job listings for the new Rockstar game today. The mm-hmm. Rockstar are apparently hiring for next gen experiences. Ooh, they're okay. looking to up their facial tech and like their mocap stuff.
Okay.
So we've got these games that are in development.
Take the LA Noire facial tech, please.
I would need a wet
wipe. Your favorite game.
Yeah. I mean, definitely mine, yeah.
So we've got like these games that are currently trying to be in development, that are going to be in development, people are hiring for, in these games that we know about. Are we in the sort of like Watch Dogs, Star Wars 13, was it 13?
13 was the one from years
where
ago.
They were,
I'd just forgotten about that.
sorry. But they were announced before we knew about next-gen systems.
True.
And they were secretly next-gen projects.
And also, and speaking of that, like Death Stranding, like if you say that it doesn't, because everyone kind of thinks that it's going to be coming out in 2019 mm. because only by the assumption of we saw it a few years back, therefore it must be. I don't think that's the case.
No.
But I'd be amazed, maybe it is, I don't know. I mean, like Kojima Productions with the Decima engine, and they know what they're building or whatever, but I don't think
do
so.
I don't think that they ever know what they're doing.
Any given day, he's just like, I need like a rifle that transforms. Then one day they go, rifle that transforms.
Yes, and then it's got, are we going to use this in the game? maybe in a cutscene.
But that's what I was going to say, was the 2019 thing came from Kojima saying, have a good 2019, look forward to Death Stranding. And everyone went, oh my God, that means it's coming in 2019. Mm. But if it's delayed to 2020, that means that it would be like a launch game for the PS5 or something closer to the approximate window of that.
Shift a lot of units. It seems
nuts to have that as a launch game, though, when that would therefore assume that the Kojima Productions had been working on PS5 technology from the very beginning, and this project was always a PS5 game. And so then that's kind of clashes.
Which supports your half-step program mm-hmm. thing, because then it's like, you know, it's just a continuation, it's an evolution rather than a redefining of what...
Because unless the PS5's... Unless the new Xbox and the new PS5's like launch windows are fundamentally different, or the expectations are different or whatever, the execution is different compared to what we've had in the past, launch games are always the worst parts of those consoles. Launch games are, of course. And I mean,
God damn it, James, you're right again.
Jack and Daxter on
that
PS2.
That was not a launch game.
Was it not a launch game?
Not at all. If you want to talk about Ridge Racer or Fantavision, which I do love, actually, I completely take it all back. Fantavision is amazing. Point being, though, that at the start of any console's life cycle, it's developers getting used to hardware and they only get better from then. Hence why you've seen God of War, Red Dead, and everything else last year.
Yeah.
So if Death Stranding was going to be a launch game, then that would completely change the dynamic or the paradigm or whatever of launch games. Which is why I don't see it happening.
This is the problem. This is why I go back to E3. So Sony aren't doing E3, and that is maybe only because their big exclusives yet to come are, like you said, Death Stranding, Days Gone, which we know is coming out in April.
Days Gone.
Ghosts of Tsushima and The Last of Us 2. So that's four big exclusives left. I'm not missing any there.
I also feel really bad about laughing there. I just forgot about Days Gone.
It's one of those things where I don't think it's going to be a bad game. I think that it might be a forgettable game, but that's another
I don't want ever to come across like I'm rooting for it to fail. I genuinely hope it does really well. I wish I could think of the name of the dude that I watched do the 100 questions thing, but he was a very nice man.
I'm sure it's a very nice game. But yes, all these games, they're theoretically... potentially the last of the PS4 exclusives, because Sony haven't announced any more, and we know Days Gone is definitely coming out in the first half of this year. Death Stranding could go either way, but the last we heard, Norman Reedus, who stars in the game, said it was going to be out this year. The Last of Us 2 is more or less nailed on for this year. Ghost of Tsushima, I have no idea about, to be honest. That could slip, but it could also be a 2019 game. If we do hit all of these, that sort of makes sense as to why Sony don't need an E3. Because we've already seen these games multiple times before, except really Ghost of Tsushima. So they don't need a huge sort of conference to sell you on them. They could just market them as they would any other game.
And I mean, if they are going to come back with a bang, they might as well do it.
Then you get these games out of the way. You don't overshadow them with any PS5 news or anything like that. They release... You come back with their own conference, and then you have your launch lineup for PlayStation.
I'm actually very swayed. Well, I was going to say that because I'm just thinking, if I was a game developer or if I was a first party developer, and you want to maximize sales, the last thing you want to do is go, "Hey guys, look at this amazing game, but also here's an amazing new console, which you can't play those games on, maybe."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you'll need to. Maybe they might come in a year's time, but buy these games first. Like that would that doesn't.
I work. Think it makes it's something like a Cyberpunk, a Death Stranding, all those kind of things make sense as the last hurrah of the PS4, and then you'll still have the majority of 2020 ahead of you before you do the PS5. Assuming that the PS5 drops at the end of this year after those games have launched, so it gets to have its final hurrah, and then all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
how I don't know. Beautiful would it be if The Last of Us 2 was the last game? Like that was
like it was, on
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was
yeah. And it basically comes out, and it maybe even pays reference or homage to that, and be like, like The Last of Us will continue.
It is the last
on
of
the PS5. That's how they announce it. The Last of Us is entirely one giant advert for the PS5.
God.
Imagine. That.
See, okay, so in. It kind of works both ways, because as I started passing that out of my head, like, it either makes sense that all these massive games drop across the rest of this year, which segues into the PS5, and the PS5's opening sentiment is, hey, by the way, all these things that you just bought are just easily up-res, the same way the games just automatically up-res on the PS4 Pro. Or we get this year's more staggered, and we get some big game at the end of the year, like The Last of Us or whatever it is, and that's the thing that goes into next year, and that supports your marketing PR cycle type stuff, because they don't even need to worry about remotely cannibalizing the fact that they've got the PS4 Pro or the new games or whatever, and 2020 is the year of the PS5 and the Xbox Scarlet or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And then they still get to say, and all the games you bought last year are automatically up-resed.
And everyone goes,
Well, we don't have to buy The Last of Us 2 Remastered.
And they say, and the price will be...
$700. You'll get two jobs to pay for it.
And he goes, psych, free! And they all rain from the sky.
Microtransactions.
Causing head concussions as they fall. They're not parachuting. They're just dropping down. People scream and run from the building.
And you get a PS5. And you get a PS5.
Becomes known as the biggest massacre in the game.
Is that why
industry?
They're not going? Sounds so they can just drop in through the ceiling.
Yeah,
the PS5.
They're just slowly putting them up there for next year.
Check under your chairs for the antidote.
But this only sort of stands on whether or not these games are kind of going to come out this year. And by educated guesses, a lot of them are like I said, more or less locked in. A lot of them, even Ghost of Tsushima, seems like it could be a way off, but they've been working on that game for a long time. Infamous Second Son was just after the PS4 shipped. I think it came out in like March or something of 2014, so it's been almost 5 years since that game came out. So you would think Ghost of Tsushima was soon to come out. So I would think all these games could theoretically either be out by the end of 2019, or maybe one or two may slip in sort of bridge the gap between PS4 and PS5.
You know what, Josh? I'm sold.
Are you?
I'm going to move over. I'm going to switch allegiances. I've gone from being a naysayer to a yaysayer.
In my head, it makes more sense to spend the rest of this year doing the PS4's final hurrah, and then next 2020 being the year of the PS5. Because...
Come on, then.
Well, because of the things I said before, you don't have that weird cannibalizing of your marketing and your PR and stuff, and all that, like... If they remotely teased the PS5, I guess they could wait until the PlayStation Experience. But if they're like, hey, we've got the PS5 ready on the docket, and they go, hey, well, it's coming out in a few months, no one is going to... That just kills PS4 sales for the rest of this year. You don't get the holiday sales. You don't get anything like that.
Mm.
And like I said, the Black Friday sales from last year were demonstrably higher than they were ever before. So why would they not ride that out for one final year?
Wow.
And they've already missed E3, so it's
All I'm saying is that I spent a lot of time over the Christmas break watching lots of Black Mirror, so I know where the inevitability of our social media and our technology obsession will lead us. We're all just going to die and live unhappy lives anyway. So I say bring on the PS5, because it marches us slowly forward closer to that singular unity of humanity.
Have you tried chopping the dad to get the true
ending? I killed the Colin.
Good, okay, course, you definitely need to chop the dad for the full ending, so I'm letting you know.
Within the space of 2 minutes, E3 massacre,
also,
chopping
Yeah, there's a bit of a theme.
Can we get the name of the guy who was the game reviewer from Bandersnatch?
Because
I feel like he would be perfect on our little group. Imagine us, and then just, to, but he has to wear the suit and the moppy, and the moppy 80s hair. I give it 5 out of 5.
Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch. Do you have any other remaining pieces of evidence?
I have one question to ask you guys.
Do it.
Because I'm not going to lie, the thing that is making me think it's going to be 2019, because, you know, it could definitely be
a nice little round up here would be very nice.
It may seem more likely. Mm. But the thing that I keep is the Call of Duty 2019 thing.
Yes.
Because that, we like I said before, we reported this last year, the Infinity Ward position was for a next-gen game, and this week, there's a similar job listing has come up for a next-gen Infinity Ward game. Mm-hmm. That would seem to indicate to me that it is going to be this year's game, but it could potentially be, I don't know, maybe they are already thinking ahead to their next Call of Duty, not this year's, their next real next-gen one. Yeah. That it could is possible. But the fact that it popped up last year as well as this year indicates to me that they would still be working on 2019's, which begs the question. They can't cannibalize next year's Call of Duty if they want to port it over then, say, if you think the PS5 is going to come out next fall. Hmm. You can't cannibalize next year's Call of Duty. But you could release a PS4 Call of Duty in November and then re-release or release again a PS5 version in March or something.
But
would Sony release a new console in, like, spring 2019?
Well, no, see, the thing with that is, because if you look at the list of games that are up-res by the PS4 Pro, it's not just Black Ops 3, and obviously 4 in this case, but it goes back to Advanced Warfare, and I think Ghosts had a frame rate patch as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're totally fine with retrospective upgrades or whatever. So say they do just release a standard Call of Duty this year, and of course the job listing is going to mention, like, hey, we're working on next-gen stuff too, because it needs to have that stuff in place to eventually be up-res, or they can get ahead of it or whatever. And you buy a PS5 in 2020, you put in your last year's Call of Duty, because and then it unlocks a frame rate, it unlocks XYZ that they were knew ahead of time was going
to
be there.
I do agree with that, but the position specifically says it's to realize the full potential of next-gen experiences. So that, to me, is more than just a sort of up-res of, like, an older game with better textures and better microphones.
Do not touch the microphone!
No, but,
we know that it has a dodgy cable. Do not...
But it's pointing the wrong way. It's all right, not to worry. It's
so close to the end, Scott.
I know, we're so close to the end, even though I've not been timing this
Please reinstate your final point, because I've missed it from this dramatic...
The job listing said that it was to unlock
the
true potential of next-gen experiences. To me, that indicates more than just sort of an up-res, an upgraded version
more than
of a game you already own.
It's
more than
having been covering this industry for as long as we all have, that is the most video game marketing speak for an upgraded frame rate.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, we're unlocking the true potential of next-gen.
Had it been marketing speak, I know jobs listings are kind of marketing in a way, but had it been sort of their official line, I think I'd be more on board, but because it's sort of looking for talent to do this thing, there is a level of expectation there.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? Like I said before, I'm on Josh's side.
You're going to support.
I want to live in optimism. I want to hope that there will be a glorious new age of technology ushered in by the end of 2019.
As someone who just bought a PS4 Pro and a 4K TV, because Josh Brown told me to, and I regret it eminently every single day, I do not want a PS5 right now because I'm still enjoying or pretending to enjoy my PS4 Pro. So I would like it if they spaced it out a bit more so I can at least get another year out of my Pro. But at the same time, I mean, I would rather they at least get ahead of the rumors and stuff and sort of maybe tease something at PlayStation Experience, let people know what's coming next year.
This is my final prediction.
Go on.
Right, it may PS6, not come out in 2019. It might not come out in early 2020.
Don't walk it back. Don't do the Josh walk back.
But it's being announced this year.
Okay. Is that your final gamble?
It's 110% being announced this year.
That's a very different thing.
Do you
want to
put money on that?
I'll put a pasty on it.
That's good.
A pasty bet.
Is it a vegan pasty?
We'll have a vegan sausage roll bet.
That's vegan sausage roll bet. At a accord, gentlemen.
Okay, so our final words are, Josh believes that it will be at least announced this year, releasing... Who knows, but at least announce this year. Yeah. That's your final thing.
Yeah.
And you are completely going into it that it'll be released this year.
I'm jumping the Josh bandwagon.
Okay. You're going to say is, released this year? Or at least announced
this
year?
It doesn't matter if I'm wrong. What is the internet going to do? Tell me more mean things.
They might do. That's what they do.
Yeah, but no. Okay, you say announced. I'll say released. I'll go for the big boy.
Good shout. I will say that it'll be mentioned at the PlayStation Experience. Teased, you might say. But I think we're not getting a release until 2020. Fair mainly right. Because PS5 sounds good. 2020 sounds good. And that makes more sense on an advert.
Oh, it does sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah, thank you very much.
In the future.
I reckon they're going to do something screwy. Like they'll announce and launch it on, you know, New Year's Eve 2019. And
just
be
Halloween.
Like, yeah, just like, ah, oh, damn.
It's just become the new Nintendo.
PS5 mini, PS5 classic. Oh, it's going to be a tiny thing that plugs in via USB and you get to play 20 games.
I reckon it won't be any console that we've ever seen before. I reckon it will look like Alexa.
Fragrance.
And it will have a camera in the top that will allow you to do VR without any controls. And to control it normally, you've got an old school PS1 controller, no DualShock.
At least buy me dinner first.
On that delicious note, we will end the What Culture Gaming podcast. But let us know what you think down in the comments if you're watching the video or find us on social media. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello and goodbye.
Joined by Jules Gill.
Bye, guys.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.